to jump in now to our message for this morning. And I want to jump into this piece of armor that we're given next to have for our battle, our spiritual battle. Because we all know that we all go through a spiritual battle, right? Are you in a spiritual battle right now? Are you in a spiritual battle right now? Amen, right? Everybody's going through a spiritual battle. Doesn't matter. You are going through a spiritual battle. You could have won one battle, but now you find yourself in the midst of another battle, right? It just kind of keeps on going. We're always going to be battling in some way, some fashion, some form. We're going to be battling. But we've been given this piece of armor, and that's where I want to continue off from last week in Ephesians 6:17. You know what? Remember what it says in Ephesians 6:17? About the armor that you're supposed to take? You're supposed to take and you're supposed to put on the helmet of salvation, right? We had that from last week, right? But what does it say after that? And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We're to have the sword of the Spirit, right? Which is this, the Word of God. So easy to get this piece of armor. This is something we can even tangibly hold in our hands. It's not like some of the other armor where we just have to look at it and we have to feel like we have it on at the moment. This is something you get to hold in your hand. The Word of God. It's the sword of the Spirit. And it's so great about this, and because, well, of all the pieces of armor given to us by God, this is probably the most well-known of them. Because, well, we get to hold it in our hand. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And anyone who would call themselves a follower of Jesus knows the Word of God, right? Or at least knows that they should be immersed in the Word of God daily. You should have this. You should know this, right? In fact, we're told that this, the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, is mightier than any other weapon that we have ever known of or that will ever be invented. This is greater than them all. How do we know that? Well, it was convenient that the author of Hebrews put it in his words. That his was greater, that this is greater than all. So I'd like you to turn to the book of Hebrews, please. If you have your Bibles with you, you've got your apps with you, whatever you might have, turn to the book of Hebrews quick. And then there in chapter 4 of Hebrews, I want you to read what the author put in there about the Word of God, about the sword of Spirit. And if you're in chapter 4, look in verse 12. Verse 12, it says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Well, it's those first words in there that really grabbed my attention right away. It's, "For the word of God is alive and active." This is alive and active. You know, as a police chief, I had to go through many policies and write policies for the department, and we called those a living document because they changed over time. So they couldn't be written that way. You call them that way by law because they change over time. But this is not that. This does not change over time, but it is still alive and active. It's great. It's one of those pieces that's it breathes. It reacts. It adapts. It adapts itself to the circumstances that we find ourselves in life, to whatever is going on. It's not just some sort of inanimate object that we just take up and we use it to strike at our foe. It's something that we use. It becomes what we need when we need it. Everything that you need to know, every question that you might have in life, is the answers in this book. It's right here. Sometimes you may go through that and looking for the answers to your life. You may not understand it, but I guarantee you the answer is there. And it's awesome that God gives us this. Because throughout this series, we've looked at God's armor. We've been trying to imagine God Himself wearing the armor that He says that we have. Wearing it and using it to defeat the enemy. We've talked about the enemy over and over and over, and we know that Jesus actually wore this armor. He wore this armor and defeated our greatest enemy of all. Who's that? You might say Satan, but it's not. Our greatest enemy of all is not Satan. Because our greatest enemy of all is sin. That's our greatest enemy. Jesus wore the armor and he defeated sin. The sin in our lives. Jesus had no sin, but he bled and he died and he cleansed us of our sin. Right? Sin, your greatest enemy, my greatest enemy. Because it lives inside of us. It's not something that is external. It's something internal that we have to deal with every day. But we have won if we have Jesus. We have won. And this shows us how to win on those everyday things that come up. Of how to have the answers to everything that's going on. And sometimes we have a hard time looking at and realizing that God gave us His armor to wear. He gave us His armor to wear. It's not a copy. It's not something that is like God's armor. It was God's armor. You have God's armor. We've talked about it. We've brought it up. We've shown it to you. We've learned it. We have it inside of us now that we know that we have God's armor to wear. We wear the King's armor. How many other people can say that they can wear the King's armor and have that? To have the privilege and the armor of being able to put it on and to use it for ourselves. This is the King Jesus armor we're talking about. It's not something that we buy in some sort of a dime store or we get off the internet. No, it's His. It's His. And there's such a privilege to be able to say that God loves me so much and cared about me so much that He gave me the exact armor that He won everything with to wear, to be a part of that. And part of that is here. It's this, the sword of the Spirit. It's the most magnificent piece that He gave us, the Word of God. It's great because the sword is the Word of God, right? The sword is the Word of God, and the Word of God is Jesus. The Word of God is Jesus. If you don't believe me, you don't have to take my word for it. You can turn to the Gospel of John, and that's the first few words that he put in his Gospel in chapter 1, verse 1, where he said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning, he was with God. This is Jesus. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is the Word. But even Jesus in His magnificence used the words of His Father to defeat the enemy that was in His life at the time when He was out in the wilderness. He used the very words that were given to His people, His children, to defeat an enemy that was trying to drive a wedge between Him and His Heavenly Father. He was out in the wilderness and on three different occasions that Satan came to Jesus and tempted Him. The first time around, Jesus sent him running with a few simple words where he said, "People do not live on bread alone." That comes from Matthew 4:4, where Satan tried to say, "Hey, you're hungry. You've been out here for this long time without any food, without anything to drink. You could turn these stones into bread." And he said, "No, because man just shall not live on bread alone," right? We've demonstrated that. That we can go a time without eating or shedding things out of our lives. On the second occasion, Jesus sent him walking when he said, "You must not put the Lord your God to the test." Don't test Him. Satan was trying to prove a point to say to Jesus, "You know what? If your Father in heaven really loves you, that means you go up here and you'll throw yourself down and the angels of heaven will catch you because it's said that you will not break any bones." Jesus wasn't having any of that. He said, I'm not going to put him to the test. I know my Father loves me. I don't have to test that. I know he's there. I know he's part of my life. He cares for me deeply. This is, he cares for all of us. And that third time where he finally just, Satan had enough. Satan had enough. And this comes from verse 10 where he says, you must worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship and serve the Lord your God. That's it. Satan, in his foolishness, was out there in the wilderness with Jesus and tried to tempt him with something that he should have known was going to fail. He says, if you will get up here and you will worship me, you will bow down before me, I will give you all this. I will give you the world. That fool didn't realize the fact that it was already Jesus' world. It was already his. He was trying to give him something that belonged already to him. But Jesus knew. Jesus knew the word of God, knew the words of his Father, had the sword in his heart, inside of him. What a benefit that is that we get to actually hold it, right? To remind us that we can have when we can look those things up. Jesus skillfully used the word of God to defeat Satan, which means that we can skillfully use the word of God to defeat Satan. He showed us how to do it. But for us to do this, for us to do this in a similar way, we need to actually read this. We need to actually read this. We need to study this. Right? You guys know these things. We've talked about it all the time. We need to understand it. We need to memorize it. We need to immerse ourselves in it. To be able to defeat Satan like Jesus did, we have to truly thrust ourselves into the Word of God. Because for a weapon to do us any good, we need to take it out and we need to use it. A lot of times we come into a battle, we're coming unarmed because we haven't taken this out. It hasn't cracked the light of day for how long? We say, well, Pastor, I listen to you every Sunday in the morning. I listen to all the podcasts. I do all these things. You know? I'm ready to go. We're ready to fight. But in truth, if you don't take this out and you don't read it and have the Holy Spirit reveal to you what's in the pages, you're going into a fight that you're unarmed. You can have all the defensive armor all your life and do whatever, but you have nothing to attack with. How are you going to win a battle if you can't attack and go on the offensive? That's why this is so important. By removing our sword from the sheath is not enough. We also need to learn how to use it correctly. We can't just, well, I'm getting attacked right now, and come out and go, oh, I'm ready to go. You know, you ever had the new book that you pick up from the bookshelf and the pages crinkle because it's just really stiff, you know? Now, sorry to say, mine's looking pretty well used up here. It's getting a little dirty. The outside's looking, and this is not even the one I got when I came to Jesus. You ought to see that one. That one's falling apart. It's got all the writings in it and everything else. This is not, you know, you ever had the smell of a new book? This is not a new smell book. This is the smell of a used book, of a used Bible. I love the smell of that. You pull out your sword from the sheath, you got to know how to use it, right? And we got to know how to use it correctly. And for anybody to learn how to do something correctly, usually you have to do something called practice. You know? We got to learn how to practice so we know how to use these things like they're supposed to be. You know, I was thinking about the West Line basketball team, right? Fantastic job this year, right? You know? That's too bad about the last game, but you know what? They went to state. They went to state and they showed up and they played and they did very well. You know, they made the other team earn it. They really did. But I wonder when I think about those boys to get to state, how many hours of practice they put in. How many mornings they got up and they went early. How many afternoons they stayed late just to practice, to learn how to play the game like it was supposed to be played, like their coach wanted to, so they could win. How many hours did they put in? Now, somebody said that to learn something really well, you have to put in, 10,000 hours? Something like that? I'm going to tell you right now, I've put in 10,000 hours here, because 10,000 hours is roughly like a year and a quarter. I've been studying this book for well over a year and a quarter, and I still need to put in a lot of practice. I still don't understand everything in it. And I praise God when He reveals something new to me, that I learn how to use my weapon better. I praise God because the Holy Spirit reveals that, right? We need to do something called, this is an old book term. This is an old G term from what I'm told. We need to do sword drills. You ever heard that? Sword drills? You know, basketball teams do drills, football teams do drills, those things. Sword drills. We just need to take this out and we need to practice with it. We need to look things up. We need to read them. We need to cross-reference things. We need to look and say, okay, Jesus, what are you saying right here? Sometimes we need to go look, and we need to look at the old school Greek and Hebrew to find out what they're actually saying, to what it applied back then when they wrote it, and how we apply it to our life right now. This is called Bible study. We don't need to always come somewhere for Bible study, although it helps. It's nice to be able to talk to people and get their opinion and learn something new. But we need to be able to study this, whether it's with people or whether it's by ourselves. We need to do sword drills. We need to practice and have those things. But as much as Jesus used this book to defeat Satan, this is not the only way in which the sword of the Spirit is supposed to be used. This is not the only way. It's not there just to take on the external threats. The Word of God is more than a weapon just to be swung at an opponent. It's to be used in your life. It's also something to be used on ourselves for our benefit. That we take this book and we apply it to our lives for our benefit. Not just a weapon where we swing it around at Satan. The Word of God comes in and it's just like a pair of gardening shears, or pruning shears if you wish. That we take this thing and we use it as shears. You know shears? Anybody that's got a garden, that's got something, those shears where they take the shears and you cut off the old dead branches and you prune the good branches so they grow healthier and they grow, produce more fruit, right? You know, where do we get that imagery from? That's something that we are supposed to use this to cut away the unhealthy, unneeded parts of our life. To cut away those parts of our life that keep us distracted away from Jesus. That keeps us going in a direction that He doesn't want us to go in. You know, Jesus Himself actually said that God uses us as pruning shears, as garden shears. You don't believe me? Are you in the Gospel of John? Turn to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John again. We were there before, but this time I want you to turn back to chapter 15, verse 2, where Jesus is talking about pruning and gardeners and gardening, where in the first two verses He says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. I don't think I put that one up there, but that's important to see that. I am the true vine. He's talking by Himself, Jesus. And my Father in heaven, is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Who's the branches? He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener, but He cuts off every branch. If it doesn't bear fruit, it goes away. If it bears fruit, he even prunes it. So it produces more fruit, better fruit, healthier fruit, juicier fruit, right? But if Jesus is the vine, who are the branches? Well, scan down to verse 5, where Jesus answers that. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Folks, we are the branches. We are the ones that are being pruned. We are the ones where God, the Father, the gardener is coming through and saying, I am pruning you so that the old dead branches that serve no purpose are gone. And even the fruit that you bear, I'm pruning. I'm shaping up that area of your life so you will even produce more fruit. You will be greater. Because Jesus says, apart from him, we are what? We are nothing. Apart from him, we can do nothing. Our sustenance comes from Jesus. Our way, our nutrients that we get from the soil, from, well, let's put it this way. Our nutrients we get from heaven comes through Jesus. Because he's divine. That's the way we are fed. So many times in our life, we can get weighed down by the multitude of priorities in life, where we can find our energy channeled into a thousand different directions. Directions that sometimes just go nowhere. They're a dead end. But we feed that our energy into that. But God is there to prune those away, to say, you don't need to be feeding that area of your life. It's going to lead to nowhere. So I'm going to take it away. I'm going to provide a way for that nutrients that you were feeding there to feed the healthier part, to create better fruit. Because so many times we lose sight of what's really important to us, important for us. This is why this word of God, the sword, is used as shears, as gardening shears. To help us figure out those areas in our life, those extemporaneous areas of life that we can cut away to give God our best. But that's not the only way that it's used. We know about the external threats. Now we know about this threat. God also uses this as a scalpel. As a scalpel. Because we have to remember, back in Hebrews when we first read that? It says the Word of God is alive and active. Do you remember what it said right after that? Hebrews 4:12 is a reminder that it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's used as a scalpel. The Word of God is used as a scalpel to help us out. It's there, God using it as a well-tuned, as a well-practiced, as a magnificent surgeon to cut away the sickness and the disease from inside of us. It's used for cleansing our own heart. And he would use this scalpel, this quick, you know, the scalpel that's quick to call out us. You know, a lot of times we're quick to call out the faults in other people. That we look at other people and we just automatically call out their faults, right? We do it. It's a human nature thing. You can't say you don't because, well, I know you do. It's a human nature thing. It's part of sin. And if you're human, you have sin. I'm sorry. But we could call out faults in people a lot. But sometimes we are unwilling or short-sighted to call out the faults that we have. To say, I know this is something I need to work on. We always look at other people. And if something goes wrong in our life, we're always quick to blame other people. To say, well, this is your fault. We need to hold ourselves accountable just as much as we hold others accountable for what they do. And we can do that because God is there like a surgeon using that to help us out. And as we read the Bible and understand it, as the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to us, it skillfully cuts us and opens us, you know, inside where sin lies, exposing those to the light where it can be taken out. You're in an operating room and you're on the operation table, and God is there helping you to remove the sickness, the disease, the sin from your life. And He does that by using the Word of God as a scalpel. And He does this by convicting us and by us understanding that we're living our life in front of God. We're living our life exposed to God, the one who nothing is hidden from Him. If you're thinking something, He already knows what you're thinking. So you can't hide anything from Him. I don't know why we even try, but we do. We try to hide what's inside of us sometimes, saying, I can't let this be known. Well, God already knows it. We live our life in His light. We live our life because of Him, in His light, having the Word there. But in living our life in the light of the Word not only exposes our open sins, it also exposes our secret sins. Those secret sins aren't very secret because God knows them. And that's why Jesus came. He came for your sins. And God carefully assists us in getting rid of those. It's not something where He hacks on you, destroying a limb, gouging out an eye, removing a hand. You know, He's there. As skillful as any surgeon could be, you know, let me take that back. The most skillful surgeon that you will ever know, He is there operating on us so that we can truly know a sinless life. You know, there's been many times, and I've even said it here, that the Word of God is an armory of weapons, right? But somehow I maybe changed my attitude about that, because the sword of God, the sword of the Spirit, is one weapon. It's one weapon which can be used in many different ways to help us. It's used in many different ways to give us victory, right? That we would truly know victory in our life. I'm going to invite the music team to come up. You may be asking yourself or saying to yourself, Pastor, I just don't see it. I just don't know it. I don't know the words in here that can truly just bring me something. Bring me what you're talking about. That I would feel what you feel. That I would feel what others feel from just these pages. From the sword of the Spirit. So I guess my question to you, church, is, do you want victory in your life? If you want victory in your life, if you want answers that you're looking for, they're right here. It's right here. And it's not the letters that are put together to form the words. It's who put them together to form the words. Because this is Jesus. This entire thing I hold in my hand right here may seem simplistic, but it's not. Because this is Jesus. Do you want victory? Do you want answers? Do you want to know the things that others know? Do you want the peace that only can come from Jesus? right here. This is what you need. This is all you need. You don't need the other stuff in life. You don't need the other religions that are out there. You don't need the other avenues of attention dividing. You don't need the superfluous things that go on in your life. This is what you need. You don't need the distractions. Jesus is the victory. Jesus has the answers. They're found here in the Word of God. And in here, if you truly spend time in here and read this, if you truly spend time with Jesus and find out what's going on, you will see that Jesus is the truth, that He is the way, and that He is the life. It's all in here. Everything comes from this. You find life right here. Life. Not just the life of here on this plane, but life everlasting. Answers that will get you through whatever you're going in on in your life right now. Answers that will lead you to victory over death and over sin in your life. Answers that will bring you to a moment where you can have everlasting joy and understand peace, not as the world would give it, but who gives it? Jesus. I love that peace. I love that joy. It's called fruit of the Spirit, right? There's many more things that go with fruit of the Spirit. It's all in here. You want to know what? It's all in here. Because in here, this is a weapon which will defeat all of your enemies, both internal and external. How do we know this? Because He already did it. He already showed us. And He said, this is for you. This is what I want to give you to wear. This is what I want you to put on so you will have victory, so you will find the answers that you're looking for. This is what I want you to have. I want you to have life. And Jesus says, I'm going to give you something to help you. Right here. The Word of God can give you a life you have never known before. Can give you a life that you didn't even know existed. The Word of God does that. Because the Word of God will lead you to Jesus. Church, it's my prayer. It's my continual daily prayer that you will all truly know Jesus, that you would all truly know victory in your life, that you would all truly find the Jesus that He wants you to find. Is it easy to get there? Yeah, it really is. It's easy to get there. We can get to that point of trusting and believing in Jesus, but the rest of the journey might be a little bit tougher. But once we're into that and we have Jesus with us and we know we have all the armor that we need, makes the journey bearable. Because knowing that we have the armor, knowing that we have Jesus, means that you already have found victory, and it doesn't make a difference on what you walk through. You will get through it. You just have to go through the paces. But He gives you a way. He gives you the answers to get through the paces. I want you to pick up the sword. I want you to take it out. And I want you to practice. And you will see as you practice all those battles you're now in, they will become easier because you will have somebody in your corner fighting with you that you didn't have before. And it's no fun to walk through it, but victory is yours. Amen? So we're going to worship to God. We're going to worship and thank Him for His Son, Jesus, to say, You have given me victory. And if you're one of those that doesn't know victory right now, now's the time. Now's the time to claim your victory. Now's the time to find your peace. If you're looking for answers, now's the time to find your answers. And that goes for everybody. Find your answers, folks. Find your answers, church.